In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Well, I greet you all and welcome you to this service of healing and to our preparation for receiving Christ in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits at his coming nativity. As we gather to pray for healing, our offering, our needs, our desires might take several different directions, several different forms, maybe many different directions. Healing for ourselves, healing for loved ones, healing for complete strangers, healing for communities, nations, and cultures. And I ask you tonight to please bring to Christ any need you have for yourself and any need you see beyond yourself. Now, each year we also focus on a particular need or particular needs. Last year we focused on grief, and in particular the grief of those who have lost a child. The previous year we focused on the healing needed in a community. This year, I would like to especially offer to God those who wrestle with mental illness. It's a subject that was taboo to speak about for generations. Even today, many people find it rather uncomfortable. And yet the odds are that every single person in this room is affected by mental illness, whether anxiety disorder or depression, or post-traumatic stress disorder. And post-traumatic doesn't just have to come from war. It can come from an assault. It can come from abuse. It can come from a dog bite. It can come from bullying. People suffer from bipolar, what we used to call manic depressive. People suffer from addictions, from self-harm, from phobias, personality disorders, dementia, obsessive compulsive. I could go on. But the truth is, we are affected. When I say everyone in this room is affected, I don't necessarily mean we've been diagnosed ourselves, although that's certainly nothing to be ashamed of. Even if we ourselves are not afflicted with mental illness, we are still likely affected. Because if someone we love, a family member, a friend, coworker, if they are afflicted, and if there's an ounce of compassion, an ounce of empathy left in our souls, then we are affected. We cannot help but be affected. Over the centuries, mental illness was very poorly understood. Even today, in the dichotomy between mind and body, it's much easier to speak of illnesses of the body. I broke my arm. I have congestive heart failure. My diabetes is improving or worsening. Or to put it another way, nobody makes jokes about pneumonia or cancer, but there are myriads of jokes about mental illness. Even our common language, we tell someone you're crazy, you're nuts, you're insane all the time. And I have a few opinions on why that is. One reason I think is that our mind versus our body, our mind is what makes us definitively human. And so a disorder of the mind is that much more terrifying. And therefore, we often turn to dark humor to cover our awkwardness and even our deepest fears. Also, many generations saw mental illness as a weakness and therefore, unfortunately, worthy of mockery. Only recently has that begun to change, has that begun to be understood. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't make it new. There is mental illness in the Bible, and although they don't use the term, it's there. Think about King Saul from 1 Samuel. He displayed many clear symptoms of someone suffering from mental illness. There were times Saul was so despondent he wouldn't leave his bedroom. David, the prophet, was called in to play music for him, to soothe him. Other times Saul would go into a frenzy. He could hardly be kept down. jabbering among the prophets. People mocked him, saying, well, is Saul a prophet now when he'd start jabbering? Once he was so manic, he stripped off all his clothes, laid on the ground naked in front of Samuel for a whole day and a whole night, jabbering at the mouth. From despondent to manic. Sound like a mental illness? In the gospel we read tonight, there's a homeless man living outside society, yelling all night long, cutting himself with sharp stones. Unusual bouts of strength. Consider King David himself, the prophet. How many times in the Psalms does David declare himself to be anxious, full of sorrows? You know, read Psalm 88. I am a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave. And all these symptoms, whether it's Saul with his manic moments and his depressive moments, David with his anxieties, the homeless man who cut himself with stones and screamed in the night, the Bible is filled with classic symptoms of untreated mental illness, and they suffered greatly for it. And those around them suffered greatly for it. A whole nation suffered greatly for it. Now, some saw that suffering as God's punishment. Some see it as demons running amok. Some see it as symptoms of just our broken human nature we inherit from Adam and Eve. Some see it as a result of personal sin. I have opinions on that, but I'm not in a position to debate that tonight, because I'd rather speak on something definitive. And what I can say definitively is that this is the human condition that the Son of God chooses to enter. He enters life into that condition. He enters life in the womb of Mary. He enters life in a smelly cave laid in a feed trough with animals. He enters life among the broken. He enters life among the hurting. God comes in the person of Jesus Christ. God comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus why a certain man was born blind, they asked him, was it his sin or his parents? What does Jesus say? You remember? He said, neither. That's a wrong question. That's not the right question to be asking in the first place. He says it's so that the works of God will be revealed in him. The same can be said of mental illness. The same can be said of all our illnesses. Do I suffer mental illness because of my sin or my parents' sin? I don't know. But what I do know is Jesus tells me that's not the question to be asking. And the answer is, it's so the glory of God can be revealed in me. It's so that the power of God can find its root in me. It's so I can experience the power of God working through my weaknesses. The power of God to bring relief. The power of God to bring healing. The power of God to bring strength. And as we heard in James' epistle tonight, sometimes requiring a lot of endurance. But relief and healing and strength and endurance in the face of human suffering, to know that in the midst of your suffering, God is with us. Isn't it better when someone's with you? I mean, when I have a fever, it's sure nice to have someone put a cool cloth on my forehead. The fever doesn't get really any better, but you feel better. That's why parents sit with their kids when they're sick. God is with us. You know, one of the most beautiful verses in all of Scripture was read tonight with Jesus healing that homeless, demon-possessed man. And it says he's sitting with Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You can just feel the peace in those words. Sitting, clothed, in his right mind, finally at peace, after who knows how long. It wasn't overnight. Who knows how long, but sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, with all the chaos in the first paragraph, and then you get that. It's like finally turning off the noise, turning off the stereo, turning off the cacophony, and it's quiet. For those of us affected by mental illness, whether our own or somebody else's, it can be a long struggle. And it certainly doesn't preclude and often needs competent medical care. I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not promising a quick fix, but what I am promising is that into that condition, into that situation, into that suffering comes God. Into that condition comes God in the person of Jesus Christ as an endless well, as an eternal fountain of strength and relief and peace. And did I mention strength? I know there are countless other and additional needs for healing. I know there are countless additional needs for God with us. And I invite each of you to bring those unique needs on behalf of yourself, on behalf of a loved one, on behalf of strangers, and on behalf of communities. And as we offer all of those needs of healing to God, this year we will also have a candle lighting ceremony, particularly in support of those suffering from mental illness as this year's theme. So I'm going to ask Paul if you would sing Silent Night. And please come up. I have a bowl of sand. I have a bunch of candles. You can light a candle, whether for yourself, whether for someone you know, whether both. Please consider doing so. If we have more takers than we have sand, I got sand all over the place. We'll make those candles fit. But there's a lot of needs in this world. And if you want to come up with a different need and light a candle, that's fine too. It can be for any of those needs. But whatever your need is, whether for yourself or someone you know, please let that light stand for the relief and strength and peace and healing that you can find in Him. Amen.